and welcome to The Natural View. I'm Maggie Jacqua. I'm the content director of Whole Foods Magazine, and I'm here with Todd Polley of 24 Stories Marketing. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Maggie. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm excited good. Today. We are continuing our leadership series that we've been working on. We have Alon Sudberg. He is Alchemist Labs CEO and co-founder. Welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
We're glad to have you here. So, As I noted, we're doing this leadership series. So in the July 2022 issue of Whole Foods Magazine, we're shining a spotlight on several industry leaders. We're finding out, you know, what their mentorship philosophy is, what's new and exciting at their companies. So we're excited to talk to you to find out about what's going on at Alchemist Labs. And I'd love to start by kind of going back in time, because in the article that's in the July issue, you talk about, you know, when you were a kid and you had this real respect for nature. So tell us a little about your background and what kind of set you up to be the co-founder of Alchemist Labs.
Yeah, so I think my father said at one point in time that he raised us free range, and that describes it pretty well, because we live next to a big drainage ditch on the other side of our backyard. And I spent actually most of my time just doing stuff in the ditch with frogs and tadpoles and submerged in water I shouldn't submerge in, and just living like a kid in the woods, even though it was, you know, suburban Huntington Beach. But that said, you know, I grew up with my father. I remember when he graduated chiropractic school, I grew up with bottles of weird potions of herbs in the garage and hydraulic presses. And my mom is a retired microbiologist. So there was a microscope in that house, and she would look at our blood, and it was just kind of, I don't know, science all day, every day. And I would go to her labs. I remember faking an earache to go to chiropractic school with my dad. And it was the day that they went into the anatomy lab. And so I remember being like this high to cadavers and having no problem with it, just kind of like looking up at it. Wow. And so it's been sort of nature science since birth. And that's just kind of how it's perpetuated, I think.
Yeah, great. I think I remember a story you told one time where you have this great herbarium, right? And correct me if I get these details wrong, but didn't you used to ride either like a big wheel or a green machine or something around the herbarium?
Yeah. Yeah, so it wasn't the herbarium, it was the garage full of herbs. So my dad he would make the tinctures in the garage. Don't tell the FDA. We still have the hydraulic presses, and I look forward to using those with my kids someday. But I remember breaking a bottle of OSHA root tincture with my big wheel. I, you know, did a cool skid into a cabinet and glass and, you know, a gallon of alcohol and roots, and, you know, that sits for a month. It wasn't a good day, but yeah, definitely grew up around all that stuff. In fact, just the other day, I was watching a David Attenborough special with my kids, and I said to my wife, that guy's got to be 100, and he's 96, because he raised me on the TV talking about chimpanzees and whatnot. So,
yeah, very
cool.
That
is so cool. So you are literally rooted in it.
Definitely.
That's my dad.
Oh, that's a copy editor right there. Like a
trademark that. Yeah. So actually, so on that note, I just had COVID, or I still have it, but I was taking tincture after tincture, and some of these things are pretty bitter. And man, I just love the bitter tinctures, because I grew up taking nasty, bitter tinctures when we got sick. You know, my parents brag about us never having antibiotics at all as a child, vaccine free, antibiotic free for as long as we can recall, until surgery, which we didn't get antibiotics or surgery, but it was herbs and supplements. And I taught, you remember, I wrote an article about how I used to take my dad's big pills he would give us, put in my mouth, and then walk to the backyard and spit them out in this bush. And the bush grew really big and strong because it had all my supplements. And I took.
Did your dad walk around just being like, I don't know what it was about that year, but how do I capture the magic again?
Yeah. And the fish oil, I mean, cod liver oil, like chunky in a spoon in the mouth. That was my fish oil experiences. So I'm happy to take bitter herbs all day, every day. And actually my kids, I have a video of me taking two shots of tinctures with them each at the same time. They had no problem with it.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, I think there's a group of, you know, actually Heather Wainer included, a group of you that just grew up in the industry. Right.
Yep.
And it's so cool to see, you know, Wilson Lau is another one who, you know, you guys grew up in the industry and then go on. And I'd say, like, you know, in the leadership realm of things, you didn't just kind of say, okay, I was born in this industry, I'll take over the shop. I mean, you guys have all like forged ahead and did things beyond what I'm imagining your parents would have thought you would do with the business ahead of time, which is really cool.
Yeah. At some point in time, my path was to take over my dad's chiropractic business, because why wouldn't I? You know, it's a good industry, good business. And why, you know, to have the opportunity to take over a practice that's already established was easy, but insurance is a terrible business. And I saw that. I used to work for him and did the billing for him and remember seeing how much he wouldn't get paid from insurance companies and back and forth. So I was like, okay, no thanks. So when the labs, we started the lab really because we were doing our own quality control for the tincture business and we failed stuff. And I've always had this sense of like really an affinity for justice. And part of that is just an affinity for hating cheaters. It's like, I like justice, but I hate cheaters. I'm not sure which one's stronger. And so the testing of the samples, making sure we weren't getting played by, you know, scrupulous vendors, that really hit home for me. And I felt a better calling of catching cheaters than I did making tinctures. And so when we pivoted from making tinctures in the garage to doing testing our own stuff, and then, you know, the testing lab sort of became a thing by accident. And then we established in 1997 and incorporated and been holding on to those horns ever since.
Yeah.
That is very cool. So you've talked a little bit in the article too about, you know, your dad and some of the aha moments you've had along the way. Can you talk about some of the philosophies that help drive that aside from just cheaters better not win?
Yeah. So, you know, our company culture is really important to me. I feel like right now I'm slipping a little bit on it because it's been so busy and haven't been really paying attention to that. So that's a sort of an admission there. But the culture really comes from a value of mine, of reciprocity, just treating people how you want to be treated. Mm-hmm. My wife, you know, she is a homeschooling stay-at-home mom now, which is a big transition from her career in Fortune 500. But she was, you know, a PhD, a master's in organizational psychology. And I remember when she was working for some really big companies whose name I won't repeat, but this were the happiest place on earth does not make the happiest employees. And I remember really disliking her job and everything about it. And I remember feeling like, you know, we would cross paths at night. She'd come home working after working all these hours, come home, eat dinner, go right back to work. And it was just, I mean, the salary was nice, but that was it. There was nothing good about anything she did. And I remember feeling as, maybe this isn't right, but it's sort of like lonely housewife, even though I wasn't, and we didn't have kids, but you know, I was done with my work and I was done, and she was continuing, and I just resented everything about it. So I remember thinking like, I hope my employees are not feeling that way. And so it's been in the back of my mind as to, you know, if my employees, spouses or partners or parents or whoever, are hating their job, it's not going to be a long lasting relationship. So I wish I can give my employees family surveys and, you know, not the beyond the employees, but I don't think that's okay yet. So yeah. So reciprocity has been really a big one for me. Just, you know, treat people how you want to be treated. It's the golden rule. And they call it that for a reason. And it sets kind of a path for just niceness or, you know, equality to a certain extent, you know?
I feel like people too do kind of, they either say, well, I went through the hard knocks and now it's your turn. And they kind of like almost want other people to suffer the way they suffered.
Right.
And then there's people who say, oh, that wasn't cool. We're going to do it differently. Right. So I appreciate that.
Well, I can't say that I don't feel that way because I did go through hard knocks. Right. When I do have an employee who's tired after 8 hours and I'm like, I did 16 hours for 10 years. You know, there's and then another job after that. So I don't have any tears for you. They're dry and that one's dry too. They're all gone. But I also know that those 16 hours sucked and I was not happy when I was doing 16 hours, nor was my spouse or even my cat or whatever. So I feel for that other side. And I think I can be pretty introspective sometimes to a fault, so sort of empathy to a fault, you know, which maybe could have been more successful faster had I not, but also I'd be just kind of running through people, which is what I don't want to do.
So. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you can look back over those years and maybe if there was something you should have done quicker, you know, that you didn't feel like doing because you have that empathy. I mean, at least you can look back and feel good about those actions, you know, growth versus actions. And you can sleep at night, I would imagine, because of some of those choices you made.
I don't think I've been called a tyrant. So
I haven't heard anything. I'll let you know, but I haven't heard anything. You mentioned something a little bit earlier about doing the right thing and, you know, and it all kind of ties together to, and, you know, to treating people how you want to be treated, doing the right thing on a larger scale, like catching cheaters, things like that. I'm just wondering, you know, this has come up in some of our other discussions with leaders in the industry, the uniqueness of our industry in the sense that we're all on this mission, right? And different aspects, you know, of people, you know, their jobs, but really at the end of the day, we're trying to help people stay healthier. Yep. And I just think there's such a huge thing. You know, I used to work in corporations that didn't care about that whatsoever. And it was a little empty feeling. Like there's this sense of purpose, right? And I think when I think about the sense of purpose and you in particular, you know, the industry and what you've done for the industry, what you continue to do for the industry, that's a huge part of your professional life. When I think about the hours you spend advocating for transparency, testing, quality, all of that. Can you talk a little bit about where that motivation comes from and where you see that fitting into the whole picture for you?
You know, I'd be lying if I said it was part of the strategy then, because a lot of those, what has transpired has just kind of worked out. Tons of strategy now in the last 10 years, but the first 10 years of the business were just kind of doing what was right, you know, and doing it well, I guess. I remember we're all around the same age. I remember those BASF commercials, you know, we don't make the products you love and use, you know, we make them better or make them safer. So we pivoted out of making products, you know, 25 years ago, but I'm proud to say that we've been a part of 25 years of products. And that really makes me feel happy inside. I take great pride going to the market and, you know, Whole Foods or whatever store that sells all our products in the industry and saying that I touched that one sort of, you know, I know that one. I know the people who make that one. And when friends and family ask me what to take, I'm like, I got it ready to go. Yeah. You know, especially now with the pandemic, endemic and whatever, it's, you know, the health has been more important than ever. And, you know, there are solutions that are outside of our industry, very available, as we all know, but there are solutions in our industry and I'm just proud to be able to recommend them. And, you know, like I said earlier, I just, you know, I test positive for COVID right now if I tested, but I feel 100,000,000% why I'm back here at work. A whole family had it. We proudly relied on our natural immunity and crushed it. And I'm really proud of that. And really proud of my industry for a lot of people. I mean, I'm still, I have a package right there that showed up the other day. It's the care gift of like, here's some lung tincture and I will take it because I know I tested it. So I'm just, there's a lot of pride in, you know, I've been being a part of it, but now actually I needed it. You know, I've been taking supplements forever, but now I needed it this last 2 weeks more than ever. And I was able to rely on my industry.
Yeah. And the care they show, you know, sending packages and wanting you to get better.
But I was able to like lean on it more than I ever had before, you know, I knew the brands I could take and should take and they were there for me. And, you know, here I am feeling, you know, better than I have in years actually. So I don't know if it's my immune system is like just firing in all cylinders, but I feel pretty fantastic. Having just had COVID. So most people don't say that.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it. So I want to talk some, I mean, we often ask like, what can the industry be doing better? And that's kind of your whole thing, helping the industry do better.
Yeah.
So what's your message for the industry on what we need to be doing better and how are you helping us achieve that?
Yeah. So my current spiel, as you know, is transparency in the industry. And, you know, I have to admit that was originally a poison pill for some competitor labs that you couldn't brag about. It was like a defense mechanism for losing to cheaters. Like if you can't brag about your lab, you should use a different lab. And then I realized very quickly I'm going to take the inverse of that. I'm going to actually say, no, let's all celebrate great quality because you have it, right? Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Right.
Knowing that some in the industry don't. And so the basically the premise is that trust is an endangered species. It really is. We lost our ability to share what our industry does so well in the 60s with the Kefauver Amendment. Basically, a pharmaceutical drug, thalidomide, did terrible things. FDA approved and safe, gave you flippers. And they said, wait, you should make sure these things actually work. And it took down the dietary supplements industry's ability to actually speak on its own quality or efficacy. So we lost our ability to say our products work. Long ago, right? And we keep getting beat up about people trying to do that. Or you can spend millions on clinical studies to say it may have an effect on a very small amount of data. You know, we still skirt around that. So what do we have left? It's marketing of brands, you know, and how nice now it's, you know, how good is the brand? How ethical are they? But the fact is there's this quality value proposition, which we still don't really talk about other than talking about it in the form of like a little seal that says tested. But the industry, you know, if you're a legit company, you're testing. You've been testing for all the time. You've been spending hundreds of thousands, if not millions a year on testing, and it just goes into a drawer. And so my whole premise is that, no, you already spent the money in this marketing campaign. Take it out and share it and scream from the mountaintops that you have high quality, use the best labs. Here's the results, because I'm not asking anyone to do more work than they already did. They did the work, right? Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Right.
So take it out and share it. And so that's the movement I'm trying to push now. And, you know, some brands are excited about it and moving forward on it finally. And the cost is really website stuff, you know, a database, you know, QR codes. What's funny about this is the cannabis industry was doing this since the beginning. You know, these dopers, you know, they knew how to market their products with quality. Now, cannabis industry and the whole industry is the lab industry, the cannabis space is interesting and messy. But the fact is they lead with quality, and they always have, and they show it. They show, and they've revolutionized the way CVAs work. And a lot of what I'm pushing here in a dive test industry was inspired by cool infograph-like reports that you'd see in the cannabis space. Yeah. Again, we are the dive test industry. We've been around for thousands of years, and we are made up of some pretty amazing people and enormously wealthy companies, and we're still not sharing the millions of dollars of quality that we are already doing. And, you know, that baffles me. So I'm trying to push for that. And as I mentioned earlier, some brands are all excited about it because they can. Others are cautious and kind of watching to see who's going to do it next. And maybe they'll start the process of trickling out what they should be sharing as your last value proposition in an endangered species, which is trust. Because, you know, the FDA put out this thing for the students and teachers about our industry. And it basically says, be careful. These herbs are dangerous. Yeah. Meanwhile, pharmaceuticals kill more people every day than all of the history of our supplement industry, every single day. And we can't talk about it. So again, trust is so important and so rarely spoken about and given reason to speak about other than fancy marketing. That's what I'm pushing these days. I don't think I'm done. And I think we have a long way to go before I can say I'm off this platform and onto another one.
Well, it's a big, important platform. So it's great that you're on there screaming it.
Yeah, and it just feels good to have positive voices saying things, you know, in terms of, is, you know, when I first entered the industry, there was, yeah, we have these bad actors. We can't really talk about them because it brings down the whole industry. And we don't want that negative publicity because admittedly, it's an uphill climb as far as the quality question with common consumers. We all get it. You're at a party or whatever. And they're like, ah, is that really regulated? And you have to go through and explain. Yeah, it is. But I just feel like in the last couple of years, people have kind of said, okay, no more of that. Let's start talking about quality. And if you're a person or a company in the industry that can't keep up with the quality conversation, well, you know, that's too bad.
Get lost. That part feels
good. Like we're making moves forward.
There was a Consumer Labs article a few years back and it said 17% of the vitamin, whatever we tested failed. And I said, cool, 83% passed. I mean, is that the right number? 83? No. Yeah. Anyways, I mean,
got it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Matt, but I was like, wait, that's a great number. I mean, 87. I wish I had that average in school, you know? <Yeah. laughs> So it's, again, it's the doomsday cells, and which is why, you know, mainstream media basically dictates a lot of our neighbors' health and decisions in their, you know, their drugs and their, how they navigate through stressful times like the current day. People want to sell that sensational news. So I'm here celebrating the good. And so we've made a club of good brands, and it's an invitation to all brands who are willing to share their quality, because again, you already did the testing, you already spent the money. It's not only about Alchemist, there are the labs. And if you work with the others, share that as much as you do anyway, any of them, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's excellent. So what else on the horizon? Anything else you want to talk about that you see coming up that we should know about?
Yeah, I think so transparency is that, you know, we are a small lab expanding quickly. So we started doing some contaminant testing finally, really at the begging of our clients that they already sent us their identity work and their potency work. And why won't you please get metals, pesticides, residuals and micro online? And finally, we are doing that. So that's exciting. And then another whole thing that I think is starting is, you know, about 12 years ago, I started the cannabis committee or with APA. Obviously, I suggested it. They made me the chair. It went pretty good. And then more chairs, and the current chair is amazing. The industry is messy, as I mentioned. But there's another industry which I think is growing quickly. And I'm not sure where it fits yet or even if it fits in our industry, but that's the psychedelic medicine industry. And it's undeniably moving fast. You cannot not see that in the news somewhere now. You know, and Prozac is a $20 billion industry with a B. a lot of people are relying on medicines to help them navigate through life, and there are alternatives, and they're natural, and they're safer, and they're basically harm-free, and it's about time that we pay attention to it. So I petitioned APA to start a psychedelic plant and fungus committee, which got voted in unanimously, which is really great. And again, it's not clear where that's going to live, just like cannabis, because, you know, when we started that committee, it was the medical marijuana committee or medical cannabis committee. And then it pivoted to CBD and hemp, which is messy and confusing. And the FDA is still sorting that out. But psychedelic plants and fungus are here. They've always been here. They're coming out of the woodwork and they're becoming mainstream. And there's a lot of really prestigious universities studying the benefits. And it's not new. That's the funny part. This is old news. This goes back thousands, or to the dawn of civilization, in fact, of how we became advanced mammals. There's a lot of really great theories about how small fungus were a huge part of that. So I think that's going to be really huge. And seeing our industry marry that one and how that could work together. I mean, you're already seeing, you know, adaptogens and cannabis and other things combining. And so you see functional medicines with psychedelics in the micro scale, which is a fascinating whole another industry, the micro dosing industry, used on a regular basis, like a dietary supplement. So that's my belief. We'll see that in the near future. And I hope to be a part of that movement, because it's a very passionate part of my life, going back many years. But also, you know, we have the ability to test for it. So it's an exciting industry that we have the rare DEA schedule to test legally all those compounds. And we're just excited to help out in that realm.
Yeah, that's excellent. We're definitely following that in Whole Foods Magazine, and we get a lot of interest when we cover stories. So we'll be tuned into what APA has coming out as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then, you know, go ahead, Alon.
Obviously, last but not least, obviously, Alchemist Assured. We have our program for a quality assurance program, sort of a seal approval, not a certification at this time, but a seal approval, basically allowing customers to take it a step further rather than just sharing reports, have an independent lab seal approval on their products. And I think that's pretty exciting. We have a bunch of good companies signed up for it, and lots more interest. Just launched that as well. So a lot of, tricks up my sleeve is the right phrase, but a lot of exciting endeavors coming up.
Yeah, you're not one to shy away from big challenges, that's for sure.
No.
As we wrap it, you know, I just want to say, having, you know, worked alongside you for whatever it is, 7 or 8 years now, and kind of this front row seat to what Alchemist has done and how you've grown in the last several years. One thing I think it's important for people to realize as they look at their own leadership, you know, how they handle leadership within their companies and or in the industry is, I mean, you've done this all without losing an ounce of, you know, your personality, your sense of humor, all of that. And I think it's important, because I think a lot of people think, okay, I'm going to go out into the industry and make a difference, like time to put on the blue blazer. Let's, you know, buck down. And it's not what it's really about. And I think that's made you, in my opinion, it's just made it more effective, because you're super approachable. People know you because of, you know, you kind of put yourself out there, and it's affected change in that way. Yeah. I think more so than if you were like, okay, time to get serious and let's, you know, I think that's great.
I mean, this is Alon. I show up as myself, and someone told me that what the easiest story to remember is the truth. And, you know, I don't know any other path really. You know, I suppose you ask my sister or my mom or brother, like, you know, have I changed? Yeah, I've changed. I'm a different person than I used to. I've been through my own battles in industry, you know, Dave and Goliath situations. And I think I've hardened in some ways, you know, for the better ultimately. But I've always just showed up, and I guess, you know, what it also really speaks to is this industry. I've been comfortable being myself. You know, I was Sid's son when I showed up, and then I took the reins of the company, and I've been on stage since. And just the industry is wonderful, and the people are wonderful, and some of my best friends on earth are from this industry. And, you know, if I ever think about what would I do if I, you know, parted from Alchemist, like I'd come right back. I don't know. I mean, I'd have nowhere to go, really. So the industry accepts me for who I am. And I've been, you know, maybe exploiting that as much as I possibly can. Even with webinars, you know, I throw humor in there. I get snarky, and it seems to be perpetuated and allowed. So I'm going to continue doing that. And I thank the industry for letting me be me.
We thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. Thanks for the chat.
Yeah. My pleasure.
All right. Take care.
All right.